Okay.
That I may proclaim the word of God to you.
Right. And this is right after Saul has been chosen by Samuel to be their king. And Saul is with his messenger, not messenger, but with his minister. And they're walking together, and Samuel says to Saul, and as they were going, verse 27, as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath appointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?' Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." So you see, Samuel is actually answering the Lord. He's answering Saul what the Lord instructed him. The nation of Israel had asked for a king, and he says, "Okay, I'll pick you a king." And we didn't go over this, but he told them what manner of king that it would be. Look back at chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 5. And, look at verse 4. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, 'Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now, make us a king to judge us like all the nations.' But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Hearken to the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" So you can see that the Lord is in the representative.
Yeah.
You think about even today, where we talk about, if you go to a man and you say, "Your apostle is Paul." The apostle Paul, he is your messenger today from God to the Gentiles, not just the Gentiles, everybody, Jew and Gentile alike, or I would say with no distinction. He's the everyman apostle today. So when you go to a man and say, "You know what, you can't hear from God unless you hear from Paul for your obedience," that's hard. Because they don't want God's man. They'll listen to anybody else.
That's true.
Peter, James, John, Jesus on earth, even Moses. But you tell him, you cannot please God without hearkening to Paul.
And they say you're Catholic.
And they'll say, "Who is Paul? Yeah. You make too much of Paul." Mm-hmm. You never heard that?
Oh yeah.
You make too much. Right. And they don't know this is Scripture. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration. And even Paul says that. He says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, all these words, he said, these Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed them out. That means he said, "Kyron, write this down." No, well, I'm just saying, this is what God told the prophets. This is what God told Paul. He says, "Paul, write this." Mm-hmm. And Paul would write that. He said, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were what?
Moved
as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
And so they record these things. And then they say, that's why Paul can say, "I'm glad that you received the word of God. You received it not as the word of
man, but as it is in truth, the word of God."
Which does what?
Work effectually.
When? When you believe it. So it's 95% is good. But here, he said, whether they should have known. He said, "The Lord is your king. The Lord is your king." They were living in a theocracy. Mm-hmm. That means they were being ruled by God.
Okay.
I think Ed, we talked. Maybe said, "Go get the ark." They went and got the symbol. They didn't know the ark was nothing. The ark was it. The ark was it. An object. Mm-hmm. What they wanted was the man who, the God who dwelt over the ark in between the cherubims. That's who they needed. The ark was just it was a symbol that God was there. That's why when they got it, the Philistine says, they've got the ark. But they were more perceptive than the Israelites because they realized that there's something a little different about the nation now. God had left them. God was with Samuel, whom he raised up. Verse 5, he says, "And behold," we read that. Verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Sound familiar? We will not have this man to reign. Even Moses, they said, "Who made you a ruler?"
Who made you the boss?
Right. I had an English teacher that used to say that, you know, where maybe you'd be out of order in class and she'd call your name out and she says, "Who died and made you boss?" Well, the Lord is the boss. But verse 10 or verse 9. "Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king, and he said, "This will be the manner of king that shall reign over you." Verse 11, Verse 13, he will take. Verse 14, and he will take. Verse 15, and he will take. Verse 16, and he will take. Verse 17, he will take. Verse 20, verse 19, he says, verse 18, "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Well, he just told them all the way back there. He said, before they even start conquering the land, he said, "The Lord shall what? Fight for you." They were, and you know what? We probably won't look at this, but there's one time where they go out and they're ready to fight, and Saul was, the scripture said his knees smote. You ever see they were so scared your knees shaking? His knees were shaking. And this is a man who was head and shoulders above all Israel. That's why they like him. They saw him, you know what? He was maybe 7 feet, right? 7 feet tall. They liked him, right? They judged by outward appearance. Okay, that's the manner of king they've got. Okay, back to verse chapter 10. But even with that, God chose to use this man. Even though he knows the outcome, that's how you know what? God doesn't make robots. Man always has a choice. And God chose, even though he knows the outcome, he'll still let it run its course. He doesn't have to intervene. He already knows what's, and he told him, this is the manner of man that you will have reign over you. But he chose him. He says, you will be like the prophets. Verse 10, 6, he says, and the spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come upon thee that thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. Now that was interesting because I see the Lord giving him, you know what? He's giving them a fair shake. Gilgal is where it all started. He says, even though you're disobeying me, we'll start all over. Go back to Gilgal. That's where they first came in as a nation to start over. He says, let's go back and we'll rerun this. We'll see if you can do good with this man. And they don't. Verse 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? You know what they're doing? They're questioning. You ever heard, you know what? You hear? Did you hear? Brother Roy, he said he's saved. That gets the attention of people who say, if they know you, the former us, and you say, well, you know what, I'm saved now. And they say, you mean Ed? Ed's at church? Ed's preaching? It's like, yeah, Ed belongs to God now. And they would say, well, who's God? That's what they're saying about Saul. Is Saul among the prophets? And he was like, wow, well, whose father is he? They don't give him any credibility at all, the people that know him.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Which, you know what? That goes back to the Lord. The Lord knows. He knows us. They didn't know him, but the Lord knew him. Mm-hmm. And he's still, you know what? He's still giving him an opportunity to be a prophet, or to be a prophet and a king. Okay, verse 17. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord at Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, what? He could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should come hither, thither. And the Lord answered and said, he said, behold, he had what?
He hid himself.
What is he hiding for? This is the king that they chose. When the deal comes down, the Lord's calling the lot in for the tribe. This is your ruler, and he's hiding. That's a good indication of what you got to work with. Right there, they should have said, you know what? Maybe we should rethink this.
This was the one they wanted to go out and fight the wars for.
Yeah. That's the, right. Now, if that reminds me of like my wife, we watch Apprentice. And they said, who wants to be the project manager? Everybody, you know, everybody balks. Well, here's Saul, you know what? Who's going to be the king? Tribe of Benjamin. This family, this family, this man. Saul, come forth. Saul, come forth. And he's hiding among the stuff. Wow. But, and they ran. And they ran and fetched him. And they ran and fetched him thence. And he stood among the people. He was higher than any other people from his shoulders and upward. Wow. And Samuel said to all the people, see him? See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. You can say that again, huh?
Yeah.
And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. They didn't even think about the fact that he was hiding. But they chose him.
He must have been awful low, too.
Then he had to be. Well, you figure this man, when he goes up against Goliath, you know, Goliath is maybe 9 feet. Well, Saul's the closest thing to Goliath, about 7 feet. And he's back in the back with all the rest of them. It takes David to come up and say, what's the commotion? What's going on? And they said, well, there's the champion out there. He's challenging everybody, anybody. And David has enough trust in the Lord to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the Lord? And Saul says, well, if you're going to go, take my armor. Like he says, you see him? This is what he said. I think Samuel was saying like this. This is what you picked. You picked this? Yeah, this is him. Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Now these men are from the same tribe as Saul. From the Benjamites. And they said, they see him, and they said, this is our king? They said, you know what? I'm not giving him anything. They wouldn't respect him. I think they knew something.
Yeah.
And he said, the children of Belial. This is in the tribe of Benjamin. So they had already, well, we know that their decline is ramped up, or should I say ramped down. They're really on the way down. All right, chapter 11. They begin to, they had their meeting, and verse, for time's sake, we look at verse 12. And the people said unto Samuel, 11:12, Who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. So that there we go. We just mentioned that they're starting all over. It's kind of like a fresh slate. But they're not. This is God in his mercy, in his grace, who's given them another chance. Even after they've pretty much told God, not pretty much, they told God, we don't want you to rule over us. We want this man. Chapter 12. Verse 1, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and hath made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you. And I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. So Samuel, you know what? He's kind of like this. He's wiping his hands of the matter. He's saying, you know what? I haven't mistreated you. I haven't taken from you. I haven't abused you in my office. And he's drawing that line. He's, you know what? He says, I'm clear. And Samuel was. Samuel was the Lord's man. He did a lot with Samuel to restore that nation. Verse 12:8. When Jacob was coming to Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hands of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Baal and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and what? We will serve thee.
Wow.
Sounds familiar, don't you? And he says, and the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us. When what?
When the Lord your God
was your king. Verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth and with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Now that's a lesson for us. I like what Samuel said. Even though he know they're on the way down, he know what's going to happen. The Lord has already told him what would happen. He said, God forbid that I should cease to pray for you. Now, you know what? That's for us. Anybody.
Yes.
Where, you know what? When a person comes to your mind, a believer or whatever, whoever it is, we should always hold them in prayer, in supplication. You know, and you know what? You don't have to go to the closet. Like they say, you don't have to get on your knees and have a special posture. You know what? It's Paul said, he says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, making mention of you in all my prayers. And he says in Thessalonians, he says, we should pray without ceasing. You know how you do that? Is you know what? You're in a constant state of awareness for the needs of the saints, for the needs of the ministry.
In the presence of the Lord.
Realizing that you don't have to come into a building to, because he's in there.
Right.
He dwells in us. Mm-hmm. Or you can say prayers driving a car, washing dishes, at work.
Your and man said it has to be.
I have a book at home. It's prayers about little children, things that little children say. And one of them says this. It said, Dear Lord, I think about you all the time, even when I'm not praying. And I said, that's it. I said, that's it right there.
Exactly.
Out of the mouth comes that's the children. Unbelievable. It's like that little relative of theirs. You know, I'll say something, that kid comes right back with a... He nailed me.
Well, this is a prayer mentality. Mm-hmm. And Samuel said, God forbid that I should cease praying for you. Teachers, he's talking about believers. And Paul said that we should, you know what, pray for all men. First of all, that supplication and prayer should be made for all men. It's God's will, you know what, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's a full-time job. People, you say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. You can pray for me. You can pray for the body. You can pray for the saints. Pray for the ministry. Right? We can do that. All right. 13, Saul reigned 1 year. And when he reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. Here's the beginning of it. What one of the things that God said is he will take your sons and he will make them serve him. I'm paraphrasing that. Well, he served 1 year. Seemed like he was doing okay. But the scripture wants you to know in his second year, the division took place. He began to do his own. He began to his real character began to manifest. Verse 7. They're going out to war. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. And he, right, they wanted the king. Here he is. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither the burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, wow, to offer a burnt offering.
There is a ritual.
Now, the thing is that Saul or Samuel came when he said he was. Mm-hmm. He said, you wait 7 days and I'll be there. Well, he didn't come when Saul wanted him to come. So he told him, go get me the offering. And he is a king and a prophet. He is not a priest. He cannot function in the priest office. So automatically he's just overstepped his boundary. And that's why Samuel comes and he says, What have you done? And he basically said, well, you took too long. So I forced myself. That sounds like Aaron. When Aaron told him, okay, take off your jewelry and we'll make a god. And you know what he said? He says, I said, the give me your earrings, and I just threw it in the fire. And out jumped this calf. Wow. And he said, and the people did it. But the Lord says they transgressed with the golden calf that the people made and that Aaron made. Now here's Saul. He says, well, I forced myself. I wonder how hard it was for him to do that. Probably not that hard. Verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So there's the end of Saul. It's just a matter of time now that he'll be done. Chapter 14. Verse 16. They're going for another war. They begin to take over some of these lands back from the Philistines. And they go up against the Philistines. But Jonathan goes up here. In verse 16, and the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked. This is while Jonathan is out fighting. Here's Saul sitting back watching. And behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then you thought beat down was something new, didn't you? Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass while Saul talked to the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a great discomfiture. Well, that means they killed a lot of people. Verse 23, So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Now here's a man, he's got people fighting all day. And he says, you don't eat until the battle's over. Boy, they wearing themselves out. It takes energy to do that. And he says, verse 27, or 26, okay, 25. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in a honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day." And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, "My father has troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint." So Jonathan's saying, if we did this on an empty stomach, how much more could we have done if we would have ate the food that's among us? But Saul, again, he only thinks about his honor. He doesn't think about the people, but Jonathan took it. It was just, I looked at that verse because he said his eyes were enlightened when he tasted the honey. And what's interesting is the scripture is, I don't know where exactly it is, but it says, God's words are like honey, sweeter to my mouth than a honeycomb.
That's in Samuel. I mean, not Samuel, it's in the story of Samson.
That's one thing, but this is in, I think it's in Psalms. But my point is, you know what he says, that his words are sweeter than honey. Mm-hmm. You feel that way?
Yes.
Even these words?
Yeah.
Samuel?
We'll get there.
And he says, and you see how I, when I ate it, my eyes were enlightened. Verse, I tell you what, this is longer than I thought. Oh, there's just no way out of Samuel. And I'll take suggestions. I just don't know how to get through these that fast without.
Are we in a hurry?
No.
Good point, Frank.
Where are we?
I guess we're not.
We're just going to the next one.
We're just going to the next one, right.
And it's been there how many years?
Thousands.
So they'll wait on us, won't they?
They will. And they'll still be there next week. You're right. But we see what the big picture is. What we see is a people who are declining because, you know, they don't have the spiritual fitness that they need. They're not redeemed. They haven't been redeemed as a people. They haven't been changed. Like Saul said, you'll become another man. They haven't become another man. So they'll always do wicked. They'll always do evil.
They're not a new creature.
They're not a new creature. So the Lord can take over the land, but he needs to take over those people. That's why he says a new covenant that I'm going to make. Not like the covenant when I took you by the hand and led you through here. He says, this one, I'm going to take out your stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. That's what they need. They need to be converted. They need to be redeemed spiritually. So what we witness here is the natural course of a degenerate man. He always chooses other things over God. If he has a choice, he'll always pick something else over God without fail. We do it today. You give a man a choice. We're not too far from that as saved, because we have an old man, and the old man, he'll always take the flesh over the spirit, because the two wrestle against the other. The new man says, it's time for Bible study. The old man says, it's time for whatever your favorite show is or whatever it is you want to do other than this. It's always a struggle. But the new man, he says, I delight in the law of God. That's what he wants to do. He can't get enough of it. And what Paul says, that what I want to do,
right,
that I do not.
Exactly.
But that I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Who shall deliver me from this? Right. And he says, I thank God that with the flesh, I see that he's subject to this. But with the spirit, I see. So you know what? It's a renewed mind. He said, I thank God that with the mind. So if I get your mind, guess what I get after that? I get everything else. So you renew the mind.
It all flows from there.
I got your wallet. I got your time. Everything else. All your material possessions. I got it all. I know you want to say something.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Why did he give them their own king?
Why did he give them their own king?
Because they asked for it.
Well, I know that. But why did he give it to them?
Teach them a lesson.
Or teach other one.
As an example for us.
Yes, yeah.
In other words, that's the great learning that God lets us do is to let us have our ropes hang ourselves. You know? And that's what he did. I mean, he says, you want your king, here it is. And like Frank just showed us, and here's how bad it's going to be. Even though they still wanted that king. So he says, okay. Yeah. And then we've got this amazing history to follow of us, which is humans making human decisions, always screwing up because they don't do what God wants them to do. They do what they want to do. Yeah. And we see that. That's what Israel is. It's just a great example for us.
But God knew all of this before he ever started with Adam and Eve. Why did he want to go through all this mess?
To teach us. I mean, haven't you ever let a kid learn by letting him do the thing that he's insisting on doing?
Yeah.
He did want robots, like you said earlier.
Right. He could have made them.
To be robots.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like even today, that's a good point, where he doesn't come in. I think somebody asked that question is, does God, it was Annette's friend that asked the question that God wouldn't let you sin.
Right.
He'll let you do whatever you want
to
do.
He
gives you a right to choose. He'll let you go, you know, as if the Holy Spirit doesn't restrain you through his word, if you don't yield to what you, the renewed mind, you have to have some information to offset that the Holy Spirit can work with. His word is life, is it not?
Yes.
And if you tell the Lord, after that word's in you, say, Roy, lie not one to another, seeing if you put off the old man with his deeds. So all of a sudden, you get to a situation where I could tell Frank a lie, or I could tell him the truth. And the scripture says, lie not. You hear it. It's in you. You got it.
Yeah.
If you yield to the Spirit, what does he produce?
Truth.
Truth. If you yield to the flesh, does God make you do it?
No.
He sure doesn't. That's the privilege of grace. He says this, do you want me to work in you?
And your answer is yes.
It's whatever your mindset is at the time. That's what's hard to believe is the, like Sherry said, he gives you every, even out to the minute detail, he gives you a choice. He won't say, today I will not tolerate you lying. I'm going to make you tell the truth. Won't happen.
Right.
It won't happen.
That's why we have no excuse.
That's another point about Danielle.
Yeah.
Is that if it was just about her memorizing some verses and being part of a religion, she'd have never opened her mouth in that discussion because she wouldn't have had the understanding of the truth that she had to defend.
Right.
But man, when she heard the wrong thing being said and she knew what was right, she had to say it. And that's the difference between the spirit and the letter, you know, or the law, is that
right.
That's a real thing working inside of her, you know. So
I bet you it probably caught her off guard that she felt that strongly.
It did. She said
she was the whole one that she said, I wanted to cry. You better not cry.
She was a witness to what God was doing through her because she says, I couldn't believe these things I was remembering. You know, I was just going in my Bible from one place.
Wow.
It was so powerful.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what the real thing is instead of just the letter, you know.
But you know, it's like when Paul said, because you accepted it as not the word of man, but as the word of God. And that's the thing with the Lord. You know, when you know the truth, it's not that you're saying it.
God said, you're
saying just witnessing. You're just a witness to the truth over here, you know, and it's His word. Just like here, He's saying, it's not. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's think about it. We meet here, and it becomes more and more like this verse in. Said the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Mm-hmm. But we come here and we have it.
Yeah.
And it's still precious.
Yes.
But it's being unfolded to us. And some of the things that, like out here, Ed talk about some things that it won't hit me until like a week, 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And I'll say, yeah, that's what, you know, it just, because it's there. And then when it comes back up, it's when, I believe it's when the Lord, the words of life and whatever need you have, whether it's enlightenment or encouragement or comfort, all that sitting down there at His resource, the Holy Spirit's resources, and He'll grab the one you need and say, here it is, right here. You think, I was like Kyron. How old are you?
13.
13. It's probably going, a lot of it is probably going over his head.
Yeah.
But
right.
some of them, while they go over, some of them are doing this.
Yeah.
They're dropping down.
Yeah.
When he gets college age, high school age, they're coming up. When he gets in a situation, I guarantee you, some of those verses, he may not be able to quote them, but they'll come up. He says, I remember something like this.
Paraphrase.
Right.
Yeah.
And right there, he'll have a choice to make. Do I walk with the Lord or do I walk in the flesh?
Do I
hang back trembling? Right. Or do I go boldly?
This is interesting. I was looking. I found the verse we were talking about earlier in Psalms. It's Psalms 119, verse 103. And it says, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Well, what's even more interesting over in Ezekiel, there's a verse here. It says, and he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. I'm at the word of God. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. And so I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you. And then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth.
Yeah. What's that, Ezekiel?
Ezekiel 3:3.
3:3.
I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth.
Well, I thought
you were much older than 13.
I thought
you were
much
older than 13.
I know.
He's got a good grandpa.
Well, let's pray.
Feed him.
But
anyway,
we'll pick it up next week, Samuel, again. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we know these things are written for our learning, for our edification, and we just pray that you would take some of these words, some of the words that we read, and make them real to us, that we may say, as we just heard, that your words are sweet to us like honey from a honeycomb. And Lord, we just thank you for the things that you're doing in us and the things that you will do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.